No purse, bag, or sandals. If you're going on a trip, I wonder what you pack, what you take with you. Some like to be prepared for all eventualities and take everything but the kitchen sink with them. And sometimes that too. You know who you are. Others are well practiced at traveling light, and their baggage is extremely streamlined. But maybe you have to do a laundry every night. This is the second sending out that Luke mentions. A lot has happened since the mission of the 12, detailed in the previous chapter. But their terms of service were very similar. There are a few extra prohibitions. No staff for self-defense. No bread that will be provided. And no extra tunic. Traveling light is required. But sandals may have been allowed for the 12. Luke tells us a lot has happened since the 12 returned. There's been the feeding of the 5,000. Peter has declared Jesus to be the Messiah. Jesus has spoken about his death and resurrection, shocking news to the disciples when they first heard it. Peter, John, and James were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration as he gave them a preview of the risen Lord. An epileptic boy was healed when they came down the mountain. The disciples started to argue amongst themselves about who was the greatest among them. They encountered some opposition on the way through Samaria, and some people made excuses because the cost involved in being a follower of this Jesus was turning out to be too high for them. It seemed as if there were few workers for the size of the harvest. But here, Jesus appoints 72 others, sending them ahead to every place he was about to go. Did you know Jesus had so many disciples? Sometimes it's easy to forget there were others, and not just the 12, like the group of women mentioned, who helped to support Jesus' ministry, both practically and financially. Like Elijah, we too can be surprised and greatly encouraged to discover that there are many other disciples, and there's a lot we can do together with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Lambs wanted for dances with wolves. Lambs wanted for dances with wolves. Come on, live on the edge. Well, it might have been an unusual advertising pitch, but Jesus seems to have had no problem in finding volunteers. The number 72, or 70 in some manuscripts, is a large one, 6 times as many as the core group. A number reminiscent of the 70 elders appointed to help Moses, suggesting that one like or even greater than Moses is here. 70 was considered to be the number of nations in the world at the time the New Testament was written. And Luke, who is writing his gospel for the world beyond the church, brings to mind all the peoples in the world as he speaks about Jesus' second commission of the 70 or the 72. As a large number, 72 was evocative of the many to whom Jesus reached out with healing and hope. Perhaps we see ourselves amongst them. We refer to the many when at communion we celebrate those words of Jesus who, when he took the cup and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So the 72 were appointed by Jesus, lambs invited by the Lamb of God to help in his ministry to take away the sins of the world. In these days, when we are being asked to draw up a mission plan for Being Church in this part of Edinburgh, together with our sister and brother disciples from other congregations, it's good to take note of the kind of mission planning that Jesus did. After all, it's his mission, not ours. So what kind of mission plan did Jesus have? What did he set out for his disciples to prepare them for what they would meet along the way? Well, here we have some bullet points from Jesus' mission plan. The first we've mentioned or touched on already, lambs among wolves. And Jesus is inviting us to act with agility. It sounds a risky business, lambs amongst wolves, and it is. For many of us, it seems counterintuitive to seek out risk. Why would you? Better, we might say, a known way than an unexplored path. Better, we might say, stability rather than uncertainty. Then there are those among us who are the thrill seekers, who thrive on risk, the downhill skiers and the bungee jumpers, who love the burst of adrenaline. There is a balance, of course, because being risk-averse is not an asset. Nothing ventured is nothing gained. Organizations do not grow by eliminating risk, but by engaging with it. Maybe we can imagine the kind of conversation Jesus had with the 72. Perhaps it went something like this. When I say you're being sent out like lambs among wolves, what I mean is this isn't going to be a walk in the park. There's no blueprint or program for you to apply. You'll be living on your wits, adjusting time and again to the situation in which you find yourselves, to the context around you, working it out as you go. You'll need to be agile and responsive, trusting the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say at the moment you need them, like I said the Spirit would. Now, go. The word go stands alone. Jesus is being emphatic. I need you to get out there, to engage with others, with the people around you and beyond. You have to go to them. Meet them on their ground, their territory, where they know the lie of the land, but you don't. Don't expect them to come to you. Lambs among wolves. No purse, no bag, no sandals, and no kitchen sink. Such things will not be needed because God's grace will be enough. Go and see what happens. This too is edgy stuff. We like to make sure we have the appropriate toolkit with us. A bag of answers to all the questions we might be faced with would be useful. Have you ever found yourself in conversation and you notice that you're thinking about the next point you want to make rather than listening to what it is the others are saying? I admit it, I have. But it doesn't need to be that way. Jesus calls us to be confident that we are loved and to be ourselves with others. And that way we can be the body of Christ, of which we are part. Whoever listens to you, Jesus said, listens to me. Wow. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. It is an awesome responsibility to be there as Christ for another, and we must ask for Christ's help to make his presence known. Well, a purse of money might be useful, but it's not a shopping expedition, and sandals would make the whole thing more comfortable. But no, we are called to leave behind our own agendas and trust that the God who sends will provide what is needed along the way. No purse, no bag, no sandals, nothing to complicate things. Simplicity is the key. And he says, stay focused. Do not greet anyone on the road. Now, this isn't about being unfriendly, but about being purposeful. Time is precious, and we need to stay on track, lest we are distracted. Interesting though it may be to meander along many paths, this cannot be at the expense of arriving at the destination. So Jesus encourages his missional disciples to identify what their priorities are, to be prepared to set aside those things which maybe even we once did very well, to support the main effort, to support what it is God is calling us to in this moment, in these days, at this time. Go where you are being sent, says Jesus. No distractions on the road. And when you get there, say peace to this house. It's a peace mission you're on, a friendship mission, celebrating shalom, that Hebrew word for peace that means so many good things, from personal well-being to social justice. And when you are received in peace, stay there. Stay. Eat and drink whatever you are given. Now, here's a surprising thing. Mission is about receiving. We fall into the temptation that we are the ones with everything to give, little recognizing the gifts others offer to us. It is when we create that space where we genuinely meet one another and receive what each has to offer, we find God at work in the excitement of that exchange. Don't be like the false prophets, Jesus is saying, who flit from house to house, some of them trying to exploit the situation for their own ends. Stay. Stay where your peace is received. Get to know one another. Let deep call to deep. For such friendship to emerge, we have only to be ourselves, admitting that we also have doubts, we also have questions, and don't know all the answers. Receive their gifts. Receive their insights and wisdom. Mission isn't all one-way traffic. And Jesus' disciples don't have a monopoly on what's true. Simple, honest relationships are the seedbed in which the gospel grows and in which healing can be found. We are not to take a lot with us so that we can receive what others offer. Then Jesus says, offer healing. Share the good news that the kingdom of God is near you. Now, I might have expected this to come higher up the plan, to be honest, nearer the beginning. But no, this is the healing that's possible when genuine relationships have been nurtured and cultivated, and we discover together the God who is with us. Someone once said, and it's attributed to various people, this phrase, so I'm not sure who the someone was, but someone once said that good pastoral care is illustrated by the picture of two hungry people, not just one, two hungry people looking for bread, and one saying to the other, I have an idea where some bread can be found. And then lastly, Jesus' bullet point, his last bullet point in his plan is, be respectful and move on. Where you have not been received, tell them the good news that the kingdom is near, that the kingdom has come, then move on, recognizing the choices others have made. Leave it behind. Shake it off. Don't carry even the dust from that place, for you will need to be free and agile and able to engage with what you find ahead of you in the next place. And we are told that the 72 returned with joy, rejoicing in the ways they had seen evil overcome and people made whole. This is the faith Jesus has given us to share, that despite what we witness or experience or see around us in a world broken by war, epidemic, and poverty, evil has been overcome. Through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, love and life have the final word. This is the heart of the mission. Jesus himself is the mission plan, and he invites all his sisters and brothers to live in relationship with him. So may all the mission plans in the presbytery, may the mission plan of the presbytery, may the mission plan of this congregation, may these plans reflect the mission plan of Jesus. And no, for the sake of clarity, I don't recommend trampling on snakes and scorpions in celebration.